or on the attributes of God, on the attributes of God. I'd like to look today at the immutability of God, the immutability of God. Turn, if you would, to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Some have said that God was a God of wrath in the Old Testament, and in the New Testament, He's a God of love and mercy. But beloved, we know that the Scriptures declare that our God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's always the same. He's always the same. So let's look at some Scripture, because the Scripture is our final authority, and this is always where we go to find the truth about anything, and the truth about who our God really is. Malachi chapter 3, and we'll just read verse 6. Verse 6, and the truth of the immutability of God is brought forth right here in this verse. And the immutability of God just means that He never changes, beloved. He never changes. He's the same again yesterday, today, and forever. Look at what it says in Malachi 3, 6, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. So He declares His name here as Lord. So we know from our studies before that this is Jehovah, which means the self-existent one. The self-existent one. And just the name Jehovah, beloved, speaks of His absolute sovereignty, speaks of His self-existence, and speaks of His absolute power. His absolute power. He says here, for I am the Lord, the self-existent one, Jehovah, I change not. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. And note what He declares right here about Himself. He says, I change not. So we see here in the Old Testament that God declares Himself immutable. He never changes. He declares right here before us His immutability. Right there. Right there. In very plain words for us to read. And here before us is one of the divine perfections of our great God. And this is one that's really not thought upon enough. Nowadays, the fact that our God never changes. And this is, beloved, this is what sets Him apart from us. This is what sets Him apart from us. His unchangeableness. The fact of His immutability. This is what distinguishes our great God, who is the Creator, from the creatures that He's created. The fact that our God is perpetually the same. The same. He's not subject to change. He never does. He never does. He never changes in His attributes. He never changes in who He is. Now, we're constantly changing, aren't we? We are. We constantly. We're not the same person we were a year ago. We're not. We've changed. We're staying physiologically the same, but we've changed. We've grown, and especially for believers, although we don't see our own growth and grace, we grow in grace, and we grow in the knowledge and truth of our Savior. Turn, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Our God never changes in His being. He never changes in His attributes, and He never changes in His determinations. He does whatever He pleases, but He never changes, beloved. And think of that in light of His love for His people. Think of that in light for His love for His elect. His love for us, for we who are His born-again, blood-bought people, never changes. Never. Never. It's remarkable. Look at this in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4. He is the rock. His work is perfect. All God's works are perfect, beloved. Perfect. For all His ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He. And then over in 1 Samuel, I'll read several other places where it talks about Him being a rock. And the metaphor, beloved, the metaphor that's brought forth here with our God being a rock is that He's immovable. He doesn't change. And I'm going to give us a word picture down once I read a few more scriptures here that talk about our Lord being a rock. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 2 says, there is none holy as the Lord. For there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Psalm 18:2 says this, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower." Psalm 71:3, the scriptures declare this, "Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress." He's our rock. He never changes. He's our rock, beloved. He's our refuge. He's our fortress. And then Isaiah says this. I love this. Isaiah 32:2. Let's turn there if you would. Isaiah 32:2. This is a wonderful scripture, beloved. An absolute wonderful scripture. Isaiah 32, verse 2. It says, "A man," and we know that man is Christ Jesus our Lord. We know that's our Lord from studying the scripture before. "A man shall be in hiding place from the wind, in a covert from the tempest. As rivers of water in a dry place," verse 2, "as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land." So again, we see, and there's many more references. I just pulled these ones out. There's many more references to our God in reference to the fact that he's like a rock. And again, that's because he's immovable and unchangeable. Now, when I was in Oregon, here's a word picture for us. When I was in Oregon, along the coast of Oregon, there's these great big rocks. I always tell people, if you're going to go to Oregon, go down the coast, because it's absolutely stunning. It'll take your breath away. You'll see these rocks just off the coastline. Huge rocks, beloved, towering up. And the water is hitting them. The water's hitting them. And they're just beautiful. And some of them are quite big. And oftentimes, Vicki and I would go to the ocean and just watch the waves crash on those rocks. It's just, you could sit there for hours and watch it. It's incredible. And our Lord is compared to a rock. Let us ponder the truth that's set before us when we see a rock even in the ocean. Pink says this, "Therefore God is compared to a rock which remains immovable." So those rocks are sitting there in the water. They're immovable, beloved. "When the entire ocean surrounding them is continually in a fluctuating state, even so, though all the creatures are subject to God, God is immovable." He's just like that rock, beloved. All around this change in movement, but he is the same. He's constant, beloved. He's constant. And we saw that happen with those rocks in those oceans. Year after year, we'd go there and they would pound upon those same rocks and the rocks were still there, beloved. Immovable. Immovable. And this is a picture of how our God is immovable. He's unchanging. So think of the security that the believer has in trusting in our God. Trusting in the one who never changes. The one who never changes. Ever. Ever. That's the one who we trust in too. Jesus Christ. He's what? The rock of our salvation, isn't he? We trust in the one who is God incarnate in the flesh. That's who the Lord Jesus was. He's not just an ordinary man. He's God incarnate in the flesh. He's the God-man, the Word made flesh. The scripture says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And that's who our God is. That's who our Savior is. And our God has no beginning and no ending. He can never change. He has been in the past as he is right now and as he ever will be. The Father of lights is called, in whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He never changes. He is everlastingly the same. Holy, righteous, the great sovereign God. Turn, if you would, to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. We see this brought forth here in James chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. And again, oh, what comfort the believer can glean from this precious truth of the immutability of our great God. He is unchanging. Therefore, his love towards us is unchanging. His salvation that we have in him is unchanging, beloved. It's not determined by us. Isn't that wonderful? That's wonderful that our salvation is not determined upon what we do, but our salvation is held and kept by the one who never changes. Oh, what peace this gives the believer. What peace this gives the believer. James chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variable, neither shadow of turning. He doesn't change, beloved. He doesn't change. Of his own will, look at this, of his own will begot he us with the word of truth. It was the will of God that we're born again by the Holy Spirit of God, we who believe. That's wonderful. It's not determined upon us. No, it's of his own will. He saves whom he will when he wills. We pray, Lord, if you will, please save them. But we leave it in his hands, don't we? We leave it in his hands. And it says that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creature. Beloved of God, our God is immutable. He's unchanging. He's immutable in the essence of his being. He's immutable in the perfections of his nature. He's immutable in his purposes and decrees. He's immutable in his love towards his elect. And he's immutable in the promises of his covenant, which are all found in and through Christ Jesus alone. He never changes. He never changes. So this glorious truth is set before us. And this, again, is what distinguishes Jehovah. This is what distinguishes God, is the fact of his unchangeableness. His unchangeableness. This is what sets him apart, beloved. And his holiness does too, and his righteousness does too, but the fact that he never, ever changes. Never. And here on earth, things change, don't they? We have different seasons happen. We have different seasons happen. People change. People die. They're born. Circumstances change in our lives. We're young and then we grow old. Right? Things change. But what rest the believer can find in this precious truth right here, beloved? In this precious truth right here. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews 13:8. Oh, what precious truth we can find before us here. The fact that our God never changes. And we saw the Old Testament proclaims that, right? In Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, we saw that. That God never changes. Now look, in God never changes either. In the New Testament, look at this. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, what? The same yesterday, today, and forever. Verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is God incarnate in the flesh. He's the one spoken of in Malachi. We see here in the New Testament, he never changes, beloved. He doesn't change at all. He's the same God. Do you know that he was a God of love in the Old Testament? People often talk about, oh, he was such a God of wrath. No, he was a God of love. He had mercy on the Israelites, didn't he? He had mercy on his people, just like he has mercy on his people in Christ, beloved. They were just a picture of the church. They were just a picture. Oh, how merciful is our great God. How merciful he is. And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ, who it says here, the same yesterday, today, and forever, in Hebrews 13:8, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the God-man. And the scriptures, both in the Old Testament we saw, and now in the New, proclaim that our God never changes. He never changes. He never changes. So let us remember that God, our God, is immutable in his essence. His nature and his being are infinite. We can't even begin to fathom who he is. We can't. We start to think about the things of who our God is, and we are very quickly in deep water, beloved. Very quickly. Very quickly. He's subject to no change. And think of this. There never was a time when God was not God. There never will be a time when God is not God. There never will be. He will never cease to be God. Never. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. He never grows in knowledge. He never grows in wisdom. He never needs to improve on anything. He is always perfect. Always perfect. He's always righteous. He's always holy. He's unchanging, beloved. He's unchanging. He cannot change for better or for worse. We can, can't we? But he never changes. He is perfect. Perfect in all his attributes. In all his attributes, beloved. He proclaims that in the text that we looked at in Malachi, I am the Lord, I change not. Oh my. And these are the words of God Himself. These are the words of, those words in Malachi are the words of God. He says, "For I am the Lord." He declares who He is. And then He declares His immutability. He says, "I change not. I change not." He is absolutely unaffected by anything outside of Himself. He has always been God, He is God now, and He will always be God. Nothing and no one will change what He is and who He is. He is perpetually the same. Perpetually the same. And think of this, beloved. Think of this. Time passes. Think of the ages that have passed. Think of the ages that have passed. Think of the amount of people that have lived on this earth and died. Time and ages have passed. Governments have risen up. Empires have risen up and fallen. And He is uninfluenced by the passing of time. Isn't that amazing? He's ever the same. He never changes. Again, change is always happening in the world here, isn't it? You know, you get a government rise up, or you get something happen over here, or something happen over there, a war break out. Our God is unaffected by anything and anybody. He is perpetually the same. The same. And think upon this, God's power, therefore, can never diminish, can it? It can never diminish. And His glory can never fade, because He's unchanging. So what peace again this brings to the believer in Christ, knowing again that His love for us never changes. Never changes. Someone would think, well, come on, Wayne, surely when you do something, His love for us never changes. Never. Now that's remarkable. That's incredible, isn't it? Never, ever changes. Never. And so think of this too. His salvation in Christ never, ever changes. So the believer has salvation in Christ. That salvation never, ever changes. That's why the Scripture says that we have reserved an inheritance reserved for us in heaven that can't be touched, beloved. That can't be defiled. That's unchanging, because it is He who has us in His hand. It's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. And think of this too. The forgiveness of sins that the believer has in Christ never changes. Never. I'm pardoned. I stand before you, a man totally pardoned of all my sin. And I am absolutely amazed. And it's not by anything, nothing I did, but all by what Christ did. And if you're a believer in Christ, you can say the same thing. And that'll never, ever change. Isn't that wonderful, beloved? Because our salvation is in the One who never, ever changes. Never. Never. Ages pass. God remains everlastingly the same. And the believer, all we can say is, hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Oh my, ages come and ages go. But as one commentator said, there are no furrows on His eternal brow. No age hath changed Him. No years have marked Him as time passes. He sees ages pass. But He is, as Brother John likes to say, He is the great I am. The great I am. That's who He is, beloved. That's our God. That's our Savior. The great I am. And He is absolutely unchanging. Unchanging. Oh, what a hope we have, beloved. What a hope we have in Christ. So let us always remember that our God is absolutely immutable. He never, ever changes. Never. The Scripture says, unto Him be the glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. That's why we give Him all the glory. Amen. All because of who He is. Our Lord is not changed in His power. He was powerful in eternity. And beloved, He's powerful now. He's the one mediator between God and man. And He was wise when He formed the mighty globe which we live on, this earth. and he was wise when he laid down the foundations of the universe. And he had wisdom when he planned the way of our salvation, beloved. All the way from eternity, how we would be redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And his wisdom has never changed, beloved. Never changed. He was wise in eternity. He's wise now, and he will forever be wise. He has never grown in wisdom or diminished in wisdom. He is the all-wise one. See, and every attribute is magnified by this. Every attribute, he never changes. That's why we must be clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Because without the righteousness of Christ, we cannot stand in the presence of a holy God. Because he doesn't change, does he? And sin can't be in his presence. Therefore, we must be clothed, beloved. We must be clothed in the precious righteousness of Christ, that we're able to access and come before our great God, who's holy and just, and he will be forever holy and just. He's unchanged. He's unchanged in his truth. That which he's promised, he brings to pass, beloved. He's spoken it, it shall be done. Let's go back to Malachi again and look at that. So let us ponder this. Again, I keep going back to this, but his love towards his people has never changed, beloved, because it's in Christ. He sent his Son to ratify the everlasting covenant. He sent him down to earth to bleed and die as the substitute of his people, to satisfy the holy law of God and justice in their place. And the Lord Jesus Christ did it willingly. Spurgeon comments, "Take any one attribute of God, and I will write semper ideam on it," which means always the same. Always the same. Any attribute of God, he never changes. He never changes. Look at this in Malachi again, 3:6. "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." The reason that we who are as born again, blood-bought people, the reason we're not consumed is because he decreed in eternity to have mercy on us in Christ. That's why we're not consumed, beloved. That's why we're not consumed. Oh my, because our God does not change. He's loved his people from eternity, beloved. He's loved them in Christ. He chose them in Christ, and he's loved them from eternity in Christ. And therefore, he does not change. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Think of this. His power is unabated. His wisdom is undiminished. His holiness never changes. The attributes of God can no more change than deities can cease to be. He is God, and he always will be God. And he never changes. He never changes. His truth is immutable too. His word is settled forever in heaven. His love is eternal. We know because the scriptures declare of his love for his people. He says, "I've loved you with an everlasting love." That love's never changed. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it amazing to think that God loved us from eternity? And that love towards us never changed, even when we were shaking our fist at him, even when we were born and dead in trespasses and sins. That's why he sought us. That's why the Holy Spirit came and sought us out, because we were objects of his divine love, beloved. His eternal love. Oh, what mercy. Oh, what grace. Oh, it's incredible. And the believer says, "Me? Me who's a sinner? Even though I'm saved, man, I'm still a sinner? Me?" Oh, my. The Lord doesn't change in his love to his people. His mercy and his grace is everlasting. Psalm 100 verse 5 says, "For the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." Remember, we in our study in Peter, it says, you're a chosen generation. He has a people in each generation, right? Well, that's what the scripture, Psalm 100 verse 5, "For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." He has a people in each generation. And his mercy endureth to them. Oh my. It's wonderful. So let us ponder the fact also that God changes not in his plans. Now a man may begin to build something, and we may quickly find out that we're not able to finish the project that we started. Either the building, the cost of the material, we may run out of money, or we may run out of time. We may run out of time. And therefore we have to change our plans. But this could never be said of God. This could never be said of God, beloved. He has a boundless stores at his command. He's the one who has spoken worlds into existence. Spoken worlds into existence. He's the one who the scripture says counts all the nations of this world as drops in a bucket. Drops in the bucket. They are counted as the small, insignificant dust of the balance. Remember when they used to weigh things and all that, and the dust of the balance, they wouldn't even clean that off, right? Because it was so insignificant. The Lord counts all the nations of the world like that. Just like dropping a bucket. Oh my. Has anyone ever stayed our God's power? Has anyone ever thwarted God's plans? Does anyone set forth to do anything without a plan? No, we set forth a plan and then we execute it, don't we, beloved? Then we execute it. Beloved, he has planned and purposed salvation in Christ Jesus from eternity. He has purposed to save his people from eternity in and through the Lord Jesus Christ in him alone. God is a mastermind. He's arranged everything in his immutable wisdom long before he had anything be executed. And having settled it, he never alters it. He never alters it. So think of that, of our salvation in Christ. It can never be altered. It's wonderful, isn't it? It's wonderful, beloved. My goodness. And the reason it can be never ever be altered or changed is because it's God himself who has purchased us. It is God himself who came to this earth to die for his people upon Calvary's cross, who shed his precious blood for us. Let's turn, if you would, to Jeremiah 24. Jeremiah 24. If he has planned to save his people, and he has, from their sins in Christ, if I'm only one of those he's saved, then, beloved, I am safe in Christ alone. Oh, what peace that brings the Lord's people. A hymn writer wrote, "My name from the palms of his hands, eternity will not erase. Impressed on his heart, it remains in marks of indelible grace." My, oh my, what a salvation the believer has in Christ. Think of how much comfort the believer can glean in light of the little word shall. The little word shall. Look at this in Jeremiah 24. Jeremiah 24. "And I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people." There's no wiggle room there, beloved. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. Now remember this, our God's not changed. He never changes, eh? So what he pronounces here is going to come to pass. They shall be. Think of that in light of we who are God's born-again, blood-bought people. There was a time when we were shaking our fist at God, wasn't there? When we came into this world dead in trespasses and sins. I didn't want anything to do with the Bible. I didn't want anything to do with the gospel before the Lord saved me. I didn't want anything to do with God's people before the Lord saved me. I didn't, to my shame. But I was one of God's sheep from eternity. And when I look at this verse here, "And I'll give them a new heart to know me." He's done that. I'm born again by the Holy Spirit of God. "That I am the Lord." He teaches us who he is, isn't he? Teaches us. "And they shall be my people." And we're only counted his people because he said it. It's going to come to pass, beloved. "They shall be my people. And I will be their God." Is he not our God? We who are his redeemed, blood-bought people. Oh, he's our God. He's our hope. We have no hope outside of him, do we? None at all. "And for they shall return unto me with their whole heart." Oh, we do. We run to Christ when he makes us willing, don't we? In a day of his power. We run as fast as we can to Christ. Oh my. Think of this in light of the forgiveness also which we have in our sins being washed clean by the precious blood of Christ. The scripture says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, double dye red, they shall be white as snow." White as snow. "Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." How are we, who are sinners, made perfect and clean? Because we're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. We're still sinners while we're here on this earth, aren't we? But we're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And when God looks upon us, he sees the righteousness of Christ. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Those who have been redeemed by Christ shall come to him. Shall come. They shall be made willing in the day of God's power. Isaiah 35:10, the scriptures declare, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return. It's not they may. If they walk an aisle. Doesn't say that, does it? It doesn't say, well, they may if they pray a prayer. It doesn't say that, does it? Turn if you would. Isaiah 35. Look at this. Isaiah 35, verse 10. This is the truth of the scripture. The Lord makes us willing in the day of his power. He's the one who has to bring us to Christ. He's the one who has to draw us to Christ. He's the one who has to regenerate us. Otherwise, we stay dead in trespasses and sins with no hope. But look at this in Isaiah 35, 10. It says, and the ransomed of the Lord, that's the purchased of the Lord. And he's purchased his people, hasn't he? He's purchased his people with his own precious blood. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return. There's no maybe. And it doesn't say anything dependent upon us, does it? Shall return. And come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. And they shall obtain joy and gladness and sorrow. And Zion shall flee away. Oh, what comfort we have in Christ, beloved. What comfort we have in Christ. I'm going to run out of time here. But I'm going to try to get this last couple points in here. The next thing I'd like us to consider is that God is immutable in his counsel. He seeks no help from anyone. He needs no help. He needs no help. I had somebody, I think I mentioned to you guys, I had one of the guys I talked to, his name's Paul. I talk to him all the time. He's across the road there. And he told me that I need to do a little bit when it comes to leading people to Christ. I said, God doesn't need my help to save anybody. God can save whom he will when he wills. He does not need, I told the man, he doesn't need my help. He doesn't need your help. No, he needs nobody's help, beloved. Nobody's help. Nobody. He's absolutely sovereign. He can save whom he wills. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. He seeks no help. He has no counselors. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. He's the all-wise, watchful Jehovah. He's absolutely sovereign in everything he does and what he's pleased to do. He's unchangeable in his purposes and his decrees. And no one can alter what he does. No one can stay his hand, the scripture declares. There's never a reason or never any need for him to revise his decrees. He's all-knowing and all-powerful. He is Jehovah, the self-existent one, the almighty one. And this is why the scriptures declare that the counsel of the Lord standeth forever. Because the counsel of the Lord standeth forever because he's unchanging. Therefore, his decrees don't change either. Nothing changes. Nothing changes. He's unchangeable. Let's close with Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Our great God has confirmed, signed, and sealed every promise of his gospel of salvation in and through Christ alone. It is not yea and nay. It is not promising today and denying tomorrow, but the gospel is yea, yea to the glory of God, and it's all in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hebrews chapter 6. Look at this. Verses 17 to 20. Wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel. There it is right there. The fact that it's unchanging, beloved. Confirmed it by an oath. That by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Oh my, look at that. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. The reason it's sure and steadfast is because the one who keeps us, the one who our salvation is in, it never ever changes. Never changes. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the time that we've had in the scriptures today. We pray that you'd be glorified and magnified through the preaching of your word. We pray that we who are the saints of God and take the truths that we've learned today and carry them with us this week, that we would meditate upon them and think upon them and just be filled with joy and awe at the fact that you never change. Therefore, our salvation in thee never changes. What a great Savior. What a great Redeemer you are, Jesus Christ our Lord. We love you because you first loved us. In Jesus' name, amen.